to advertise, email podcast@thisismaji.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
Indaba rimini, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Welcome to the biggest podcast in Africa. And right now, we're chilling with the biggest comedian from Africa. Make some noise for Michael Blackson.
Michael Blackson, Sam Walker boy.
Bro, thank you so much for your time, man. And honestly, like, this is so African of you to invite us to your home, man. This looks like a beautiful home, bro.
Oh, thank you, man. You know, that's just the African in us. You know, we always feel welcome. And as a kid growing up in Africa, my mother was an evangelist. She still is. She's older now, so she's just more relaxed and do church at home. Right. But as a kid, my mother would travel to different villages preaching the gospel, and strangers would let her in their house.
Yeah.
And we slept there, and people took care of us. Yeah. You know, so, you know, it's just an African thing. We just, you know, my house is your house. That's how I look at it.
Bro, but I saw you got so much alcohol in here, bro. It looks like it goes down in here, bro.
Drinking, you know what? Bro. And I don't even drink.
Like, what?
I'm not a real drinker, man. I'm more like a champagne guy, you know, but I'm always, like, welcoming people in my house. I'm always prepared for... All my friends are alcoholics, so I'm always prepared. Like, you guys are alcoholics.
Yeah, we are. Are these writers? Is this like, you know, when you go perform at your...
This is my writer.
These are writers,
yeah, this
right?
Is writer. This is my writer. When I go perform, is part of my writer to have 5-6 bottles, and I don't drink it, so I just put it in a box and bring it home. And
But tell me, Michael.
Talk
so
to me.
The woman's not here. Your woman is not here. You're here. Mm-hmm. We've got all these writers. What's like the craziest party you've had here, bro?
Ain't no Diddy party going on here.
No, consent, of course. Yeah, so it's not a Diddy party.
No,
when there's consent, it's not a Diddy party.
That is true. No, nothing really crazy. I've had like, you know, like special occasions. I throw a party. Yeah. If I do a show in LA, I do an after party in my spot.
So who's walking in the door, like, when it's a special occasion? Like, who are you talking about?
Nobody crazy, man. Like, who am I good friends with? As far as celebrity-wise, just mostly comedians, you know?
Yeah.
Comedians.
Sure. So, like, Dave Chappelle can walk in.
Dave Chappelle could walk in. Dave has never been here. Dave has been to my house in Ghana. Mm. I've been to his house in Ohio, but he's never been to my place in L.A.,
Is Kevin Hart walking in?
Kev has not been here.
Uh-huh.
You know, let me
see. So Hart is not where the home is.
Kev's not been here. But always, you know, like Naeem and Spank, those guys that goes on the road with him. We're all friends, though.
What about the Afrobeats guy, like Davido?
Oh, yeah, Davido's been here.
Mm.
Who's
Burna Boy.
Been here? Burna has not. Has Burna been here? I don't think Burna's been here.
Sakodi.
Stone Boy has been here.
Stone
Sako
Boy.
D has not been here. What's the girl, the Nigerian girl, the Temps?
Temps, yes, yeah, yes.
She's been here, right? Was that the one that was here for the party?
Timmy.
Oh, Timmy was here.
Timmy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, and it gets lit, bro, because, like, you got a beautiful view of the whole of L.A., bro.
Man. I work hard, man. I told a lot of jokes for this view.
But, like, how did you choose this house? Like, was it a spot that, like, when you came to America, you're like, I want to live there one day?
Well, it wasn't that simple. No. When I first came to America, I lived in the East Coast. We are in the West Coast right now, but, you know, I lived in the East Coast. I was raised in Philadelphia. And then I got a home back in the East Coast. But L.A. is kind of where you come to, like, trying to get yourself to the next level. Yeah. At least that's how it was for 90s and the early 2000s, you know, before social media.
Yeah.
L.A. is where you come to. And the industry took you more serious when you live in L.A. because you're close, you're nearby for audition. You're nearby to film something. This is before they had a bunch of studios in Atlanta and everywhere else. L.A. was the only place to come to be a star. And then New York, of course, New York, you know. But I came to L.A. back like 10 years ago just to, like, you know, get myself closer to the industry. And I ended up just staying a little bit longer than I wanted.
And was it hard for you, like, to purchase the place? Because, like, you're from Ghana and they think you're scamming people.
Yeah, I've been in America for a while now. I've been here for like 30 years. You know, so this place, how did I find this? So it got to a point where I was living in one place in Los Angeles, and then my lease was up, and I was looking for another place to go. I said, I was living in North Hollywood. This is Hollywood. I was living in Northern Hollywood. I said, okay, my lease is up. I want to find somewhere, you know, different. So I'm going online looking for places, or just driving to different condominiums. Yeah. And then I went to a few of them, and when I came here, they had some properties for, this is the only building where you could buy or and also rent from the owners.
Okay.
You know, so when I came here, I went up and I saw the amenities they had. And the difference between this and everywhere else, like the pool and the hot tub was 24 hours.
Yeah.
You go in the pool at 3 a.m. if you wanted to.
And I know you love the hot tub. Your woman was telling me you love the hot tub.
I'm a hot tub guy. Because I'm African, I'm warm-blooded. I don't get in the cold water. Yeah, I like everything hot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So you don't like Tyler, yeah?
I'm like what?
Tyler.
Thailand?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Thailand?
Oh, no, never mind.
Is it an inside joke?
Yeah, I think some water joke. Make me water. Something like that. He understands the joke. But, bro, what is it?
I don't know. What is Thailand? I don't know. But I like to be warm. I love warm climate. That's another reason he moved to California.
Yeah, but Tyler's warm, bro. Tyler's warm.
Yeah, but why? What? This motherfucker.
I don't even get it. Motherfucker. But bro, what does it look like when a lot of people, when you move here to Hollywood to try and make it for the big time?
Right.
In our heads, it sounds glamorous, but like, do you have to hold down a job because also you've got a living to support, yet you're still chasing your dreams?
Well, by the time I moved there, I was already successful.
Right? Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I made
Different story.
I made it as a comedian. I was already making money. You know, it's just when I move here, though, LA helped you step your game up. You come here, everything's expensive as hell. Everything's on a whole different level. So it helps you step it up.
Yeah.
You know, when I was on the East Coast, I was cool. I had a nice house and a nice car. But, you know, and I was content with it. But when I came to LA, it made me elevate. You know, I elevated from like, you know, a certain price home to like triple times the price, a certain type of car for triple times the price, you know. Because LA is all show. Everything, you know, it's like people treat you by how you look, how you roll, it's a shame, but that's how so many guys out here move out here and fake it till they make it.
Yeah.
You know, they rent a house and act like it's theirs, they rent a car and act like it's theirs, because nobody don't respect you if you have nothing.
I was watching an interview you did, and you said South Africa's not the real Africa.
What?
Mm-hmm. What did you mean by that?
Well, no, I meant when I think of, I wouldn't say not much as being a real Africa. I just looked at the western part of Africa as being the original, because I think I felt like that's where slaves were taken from.
Okay.
Was Western Africa. So, you know, and that's why, you know, we were taken from West Africa and brought to America.
Yeah.
You know, nobody was taken from South Africa. And then South Africa at one point was ruled by the white man, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
It still is?
Yeah. We're about to have a white president, bro.
Economically, it is. Technically, it is. Like, at the surface, it's not, because there's democracy, we vote, there's a black government, but white people still run shit.
That's more recent, though, right?
That's 94. That's 30 years recent, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, at that, with everything that went on, you know, with any country I felt like was being ruled by the white man, I didn't look at it as, you know, being a real... grew by real black people.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt. But South Africa still has a lot of culture.
Yeah.
Lots. I mean, the music is amazing. And the people are great. The women are beautiful.
Stunning.
Oh, the best women ever.
Their booty is ridiculous. I'm a booty man.
Yeah.
My nigga.
It's too much,
man.
You guys have all the booties. But, you know, when I think Africa, I always think about where slavery came from.
Yeah.
They came to the coast of West Africa. Even like, it's like, I won't go as far as North Africa not being, you know, South Africa is a lot more Africanish than North.
Definitely, that's Arab. Yeah.
But having stayed here, is that what Americans think of us? Because we are more than just having, you know, slaves come from Africa.
No, no. Americans definitely think that South Africa is Africa.
No,
it's me being an African. I'm like, when I think of, you know, I don't, I don't, because of the whole white man ruling the country, kind of like, you know, maybe felt some type of way.
But what do Americans think of Africa, like, when you speak
the whole Africa?
Yeah.
I mean, Muslims don't think North Africa, they don't think Egypt is Africa.
Yeah, that much we know. Yeah.
You know, even my lady, I was like, she's like, Egypt is Africa? I'm like, you know, don't say nothing else, okay? But Egypt is part of Africa. But yeah, they don't, but I think as long as you're black, I mean, we're Africans. Yeah.
Bro, like a lot of us, right, or people in Africa, South Africa, would think of moving with our families, taking my six-year-old to America for a better life and all. And as someone who's been here as an African immigrant since your teens, what are the challenges, you know, of just being assimilating into this new culture?
This is a better time. It's not like it was back when I came as a kid. When I came as a kid, it was tough.
Shit.
You know, I'm talking about like late 80s, 90s, you know, nobody was claiming Africa, even, you know.
Like a homeland, yeah.
Nobody, because the kids just made fun of you as a kid. You know, even the grown-ups, they made fun of you. So it was tough coming here as a child in that era. You know, we're in a whole different era now where everybody's looking for identity. Everybody's trying to...
But wait, you grew up in America, though.
I grew up in America.
And then you went to Ghana when you were 15.
No, he was born in Ghana.
No. I came to America when I was about 13 from Africa.
Yeah.
I came at 13 years old and then I was here most of my life.
So you were born in Ghana and then you left Ghana to come here when you were 13.
Well, between Ghana and Liberia is where I spent most of my time.
By yourself?
No, not myself. My parent, my mother.
Okay. No. I'm asking. what kind of parent says,
I just walked out the womb and just was on my own? I didn't walk out my mom coochie like, okay, I'm on my own. Where, how do I get to America
from here? What's his name? The comedian. Cat Williams was traveling alone at 13. You remember?
Cat was born without parents.
Yeah,
okay?
He's the only guy.
I came to America. I came to America with my mother.
Okay.
And my youngest and my two sisters.
Yes.
At 13.
Yeah.
And then I didn't get to go back home. I didn't get to go back to Africa at all till at the age of like, I just did the movie Next Friday. So it was like, I was probably like in my mid-20s.
Yeah.
When I went back.
Where's your dad in all of this? So your dad is not...
My mother left my father at a young age. Mm. I was very young. My mother had given her life to Christ and became a pastor. And she said, my dad and I want to live that life. Mm. So she took our kids and just took us away and just like, you know, we're going to live the gospel life, the Christian life.
Yeah.
And my dad didn't want to live that life.
So your dad is in Ghana?
My dad passed away many years ago. But he was. She left him in Ghana.
So she leaves him, right?
Yeah.
And then you guys come to America.
Well, not everybody. My mom had 8 children. You know, I'm curious. How do you guys all get visa to come in? How hard was it?
Yeah, it was fucking hard.
Yo, the visa was tough, bro. Yo, man, they don't
just
want to
just imagine
here,
20, 30 years ago, it was 10 times tougher.
Wow.
You cannot just get up and go to the U.S. Embassy and say, I want to come to America and get a visa. America wants to make sure that you're going to take your ass back.
And did she?
Yes.
For them to make sure you're going to take your ass back, they got to make sure you have things back home that you're going to go back to.
Yeah. True,
whether it's a business, whether if you're a woman, whether you have the husband,
kids,
whether you have children, you know. For a 25-year-old with no kids to say, I want to come to America, 99% of the time, you're going to get denied.
Insane. Did she know anyone here?
Well, she's been here already.
Okay.
She's been here prior to her bringing me here.
Uh-huh.
She's been here and she had a lot of church. So everything my mother was affiliated with was church. So she knew a lot of pastors and other people. And that's how she was able to get visas for us because she got it through the church.
Yeah.
The church invited her to come.
So when you get here, like, what are you doing? Like, are you going to the schools in America here?
Well, we came and then, you know, we came and then there was a... When we came here, we came from Liberia. So when we got here, you know... I guess the plan my mother had was to stay.
Yeah.
For us to stay, you know. Because I know she always told us as kids, I'm going to take you guys to the promised land. I guess back there before heaven, I guess America was the promised land.
Yeah.
Oh, she called it that.
She called it that. My mother called America the promised land. So she said, I'm going to get you guys to the promised land. So I remember she got my sister here first and then came back and got me and my younger sister little by little. And then we came. Some things happened back home. Where we couldn't go back. You know, so was able to get like an asylum to stay and
so at this point, have you overextended your visa or?
Oh, yo, but it definitely was overextended. It was overextended, and then but when the situation happened back home, back in Liberia, you couldn't go back, so they allow you to stay.
Okay,
you had to get papers, so they give you legal papers to stay and work, and so forth and so forth.
Damn, bro. So at that time, like, you going to schools here, and you mingling around here.
Well, I couldn't go to school for at least a couple of years, because I didn't have the right papers to go to school. So I probably didn't get to go to school till like almost low after 14 years old.
So what are you doing like the whole day?
Well, I was watching TV, and when the kids got out of school, I'd go outside and hang out, play with the kids.
So when your mom's at work, you're home.
That was before my mother was able to work. Mind you, she had to wait to get work papers. You know, so by the time my mother got work papers, yes, I was in school. My mother was working. You know, I'm going in the daytime. She's going in the daytime, along with my younger sisters.
So where are you living? How's she paying rent?
At this time, she living with like friends. She had a friend that had a place that we stayed in the basement.
Damn.
And then after that, we went and lived in a shelter home.
Damn.
We lived in a shelter home for a while, for like a couple of years. I actually had I'm not going to school from a shelter home.
So how old are you? Are you aware
this time
that you're
I'm
in
like
a shelter?
14 years old.
Jeez, bro.
Yo, bro, that's insane, bro. I never knew that, bro.
Yeah. I lived in a shelter home in Newark, New Jersey. Newark was our first stomping ground. When we first came to America.
Oh, Newark. That's where we were like last week,
Y'all in Newark?
Yeah, Newark.
But I prefer LA, man.
Oh, yeah. Newark was rough, nice. Man.
Yeah, New York
Newark was so rough. By the time my mother, we moved to Philly, which was like 2 years later, my mother had some friends that were in Philly. And by the time we moved to Philly, and Philly was rough, right? That New York was so rough that Philly felt like paradise. That's how rough Newark was.
So what does the shelter look like if you're a family set up? Because a lot of people in shelters are like just a single man, single lady.
Yeah.
What does it look like when you're
like,
a family?
It's a one big bedroom. My mom was there, me and my two younger sisters sharing one room.
Oh, damn. At least there weren't any other strangers there and stuff.
No. Just every family gets its own room.
Hey, it's a private school shelter. It sounds like, you know, at least there's a privacy of family. Yeah.
And then your mom right now, like, where's she at?
She's in Ghana right now. She, you know, she moved back about 15 years ago. She moved back. She's chilling. I mean, she has like, you know, a driver and people taking care of her. Like, you know, so she's living her best life right now at the age that she is.
Why would she prefer that side of you? Is that like she just can't get used to America?
Well, I think every African family or parent that moves to America, when as they get older, they move back. There's, you know, because if not, what ends up here? You end up in a freaking nursing home. Nobody wants to end up in a nursing home. Back home, at least you get to stay in your home. You get people to take care of you for a very small amount.
And it's a community.
And the food is shit,
Food's horrible. And then, you know, so, I mean, there you get like, you still live like a king and a queen in your 70s back home compared to living here where they throw you in a old folks home and then you're in there with a bunch of other old folks.
So when we got told that we were going to interview you or like chat to you, one thing I really wanted to know from you, bro, because like you've been to Africa, you know what Africa's like.
Yeah.
A lot of Africans aspire to be in America, like we worship America. How did you crack it, bro? Like what's the secret? Like is there a cheat code?
Oh man, but you know, I've been here since day one, man. I'm probably one of the first African comics, you know, to be known by America. Probably the first. So the great thing about America is America likes stuff that are different. You know, when I started comedy, I was the only guy from the continent doing it. You know, so I was different than anybody else. That kind of helped me stand out a little bit. You know, America is just like different. You know, originality. That's with any talent. I think with any kind of talent, you have to be original. You know, you can't just try to be like everybody else. And I was myself. I embraced my culture. I embraced Africa. You know, and I guess that's probably what helped me become successful to today.
So, because, I mean, you know, like, when, I mean, I'm sure you saw the episode with Cat Williams where he was calling you You said you got a fake accent and whatnot and whatever, right? So at what point do you realize that, okay, my difference or something that's different about me is the fact that I'm from Africa and I need to embrace it, because I'm sure there were pressures to be American and try sound cool and stuff.
Oh, yeah. You see, a lot of time when I'm on stage, you know, not even much on stage, the thing about our African accent, it never leaves us. It's very hard. So when I'm talking normal, I'm trying to talk correct so people can understand me.
Aha.
You know, because if with even them guys, even like a guy like DeVito, when they do anything, you have to try to talk as clearly as possible so you can understand what we are saying, because African accent never leaves our body, you know. And don't get it wrong. I mean, it got to points where, you know, after doing comedy for so long, you know, your agent or manager will try to tell you to, like, you know, change up or you're going to be typecast. You know, but I never really cared about anything else. I only care about being an African. You know, stand-up is my bread and butter. This is how I make my money. Stand-up comedy pay for this. Cash money. Everybody has a mortgage. Mike has no mortgage. Stand-up money pay for this, right? Stand-up. So this is my first priority. This is my priority to me, stand-up. Mm. Acting is great. You know, I mean, don't get it wrong. That's how you do get to the next level if you just star in some great movie, and you know, but I made my money from stand up and I didn't want to change that.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to, and I could name a few comics that probably came after me.
But Mike, you gotta be crazy in that time to be like, all right, I'm gonna represent Africa, because it's not even, this is prior social media, you know what I mean?
It was tough.
And Africa was not cool. You gotta be crazy to be like, this is what I'm standing on, this is what I'm pushing.
Yeah. I just couldn't help it, man. It was just something. Even when it got to the point where I probably because I've been in this country 30 years and I probably just became a citizen less than 3 years ago. Less than three.
Whoa.
Years. Yes. And one of the main reasons was I didn't want to let go of this African. I didn't want to let go. I'm like, if I become American, I mean, how's, are they going to look at me the same? Am I still?
But what's it like? Like when you go on stage the first time to an American crowd, mm-hmm. and you're pushing this African narrative, and you're a comedian, and there's no one like you before. Like, it must be daunting, bro.
You know, it was fun. You know, and like I said, America love things that are different. You know, they laugh at things that they're not used to. You know.
So are you telling me I could go and speak Zulu right now? It's different.
Well, as long as they understand what you're saying, you'll be okay.
But it's different. It's not gonna work.
There's a guy, this comedian, I can't think of his name. I think he's from Zim.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? The comic. He's been all over the internet recently. I think he did America Got Talent.
From you know Zim?
I think from
Zim. I don't know him.
Name? Do you know the name?
Damn. What's the guy's name?
Yeah.
He's doing well. And reminds me of me when I started. Wow. You know, and I'm like, hey, that guy's going to be successful. Because I'm in the point of my life now where it's like, you know, I've been here long enough. I'm still African. You know, I just make fun of what's happening right now in America. You know, compared to like me going on stage and comparing. I did a lot of comparison when I first started. Compares things in, back home to America, or how Americans look at us, or how dating an American woman, being a new person from another continent, coming. So now it's like, now I just make fun of shit they got going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, my material did change over time, you know, and I got more raw. When I first started, I was very clean, you know, and my jokes was kind of like funny, but it was like just the culture of back home and like just what Americans also made fun of a lot of what Americans thought about us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm taking my first joke when I first started in 1995. Okay, you hear my first joke?
Yeah, listen.
Yeah.
Here's my first joke. When I first came to America, all my friends tried to make me feel at home. So they didn't feed me for a month.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
So when does the accent thing come in? Because like when I heard you on Drink Champs, I was like, I was shocked at the way you spoke. Like, I'm like, oh, this guy's got like a...
But you know what? It's like when I perform on stage, you know, I use a lot of energy. I think with the energy and it's what brings out my accent even more, probably. You know, but if you're going to talk to me, I'll talk like this, you know, all the time.
Yeah. But it feels like, you know, watching it from a back, right? It feels like you're perpetuating that accent because you know it's going to make you stand out, you know?
Well, but you know what? The funny thing about it, when I first started stand-up, you know, I used to just... when I first started, I was still brand new here. So I still had an accent. It just probably wasn't as strong as it was when I was, you know, 13, 14 years old. But I remember one time I did this one joke, and the joke involves me imitating like my uncle or my father or something. And I was trying to talk like him. And when I did, everything I said in his accent was funny.
Ah.
And I'm like, okay, well,
I'm on to something. Yeah.
That's when you realized.
I'm like, even it wasn't even a punchline. It was still funny because the way it sounded.
Yeah.
I said, I'm just do my whole show like this.
Yeah.
And I said, if I'm going to do this, I might as well put the garb on. And that's when I threw the dashiki on.
Yeah.
So it's a character. So
it's a character, but it's a real character. It's,
I'm, and you've got the license.
It's not like I'm not.
You've got the license. You're born in Africa.
Thank you very much.
You're African. I have the license.
That's it. I have the license. And then I rode that wave with the dashiki and with talking like my uncle for a while. And then as my material got very mature, like hardcore, like I'm talking about like cussing, you know, like Eddie Murphy and
Richard Pryor.
Those were my idols
when I started watching stand-up.
So when I started to go that route, I had to take the dashiki off.
I took it off
because I'm like, this is not African. This is not, an African man would not be cussing like this.
True.
So I didn't want to, I had to take that garb off to go hard.
But then is there now pressure because we know you for that character and that's what blew you up. Mm-hmm. But now it feels like you're at a point where you got to do like, you know, in movies where you can be typecast, but you got to do a serious character like Kevin Hart did. He started doing like serious characters so people can respect his craft. You know what I mean?
It sucked.
Yeah.
When he was playing a serious character. Where he was a thief, right? No, what's that movie called? Where he's a thief?
The one with Wesley Snipes, that one?
No, not that one. I don't know. Recently, where he's a thief, like there's a robber treasure with all the money.
I heard it was bad.
It's horrible.
And I'm sure he knows it's bad.
So isn't there that pressure for you to like shave off the African... character?
You know, I did, but like I said, I didn't as much. I still, you know, I think I'm already known as that African king of comedy. I'm already known as that. So I don't think regardless what I do, I think I will always be that guy, you know. Nothing changed much. I mean, money went up, you know, money went up because social media helped me become a household name. You know, prior to social media, they'd be like, who the African guy? The African guy from Next Friday. That's what they called me. But when social media came out, my name became Michael Blackson. And that's how you sell tickets. You know, as long as you sell tickets, you know, and very few people sell tickets, and I'm one of those. Mm-hmm. So as long as I sell tickets, I always make money.
But aren't you selling tickets because of the African character?
He's part of Michael Blackson. You know, and I'm still selling tickets to today. You know, because I took the garb off, taking the garb off was just showing respect to my people. You know, I didn't mean there's no 40-year-old African man wearing a dashiki just cussing. That's why I didn't feel comfortable wearing it anymore because I was talking about really hardcore stuff, like stuff that the people want to hear, stuff that makes you a headliner. You know, as a headliner stand-up comic, I mean, don't get me wrong, you could be a clean comic and still survive. I mean, I could name 5 or 10 of them, like Bill Cosby was a clean comic. Mm-hmm. You know, Trevor Noah is clean.
Trevor Noah,
He's super clean.
But then, then you go to like the Dave Chappelle, that's hard, you know, and everybody else is pretty much hard. Bernie Mac was hard, you know, and that's just the route that I'm not going to say God chose for me, but that's just what I am. And the thing about it, I go back and I think, and I said, where did this Michael Blackson come from that he's doing all these hardcore material? And I remember back, one time, I remember being 6 years old. Mind you, I'm a preacher boy. My mother's an evangelist. And I remember being 6 years old, taking a tape recorder. This is me in Liberia as a six-year-old kid, taking a tape recorder and just recording myself cussing. Huh. And then, because I was wondering where this came from, where this other Michael Blackson came from, this very vulgar stand-up comic. You know? Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's just an act. Mm. You know, I mean,
what,
you know.
What were you saying in the cussing tapes?
Was just, I just remember I was cussing. I don't remember all the exact words I was saying. But it for some reason, I thought about it, and it came all back to me. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, it was meant to be.
Wow.
You know, but... It, like I said, is an act. At the end of the day, you know, whether you're an actor...
Bro, I didn't know that was an act, bro.
You're a stand-up comic. We're on stage. We're acting.
Bro, I thought that's you, bro.
No.
So when we came here, you're like, yo, are you good? Are you good? I'm like, who the
On stage,
fuck
I'm a very mean person on stage.
Eh.
In person, I think I'm a nice.
Yeah, no, no, you are, 100%.
Nigga, I let you in my house, motherfucker.
Bro, you said something fascinating, right?
Right.
And you just touched on it now, but you said when you started, your comedy was clean.
Yeah, it was.
And then you said when it matured and you cursed more. Mm. So that sounds vice versa to the ordinary brain, because like, okay, when you less mature, you curse more and you're less explicit. So how does, like, what defines mature comedy versus immature comedy?
Well, we're in America. I think explicitness sells more than, you know. I mean, if you got a chance of watching NBC or watching Netflix, what are you going to watch?
Netflix.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you Netflix. Television.
So I'm Netflix.
Yeah.
And I didn't choose this. It just happened. It just, you know, I guess my direction just went their route of just talking about really mature things that people are afraid to talk about. In fact, you know, I'm going to invite you guys to my show.
In two days.
Tomorrow is a roast.
Okay.
You're not going to see my roast stand-up. Yeah. I'm invited to a stand-up show Friday.
Yeah. We're there, man.
All right? And then you guys could see what I'm talking about.
Bro, I want to ask you something,
Talk
man. So you know we're Africans, right?
Right.
We like women, right?
Right.
We love women, right?
With grande cooler.
The monogamy thing or polygamy thing, yeah. What's the temperature there? Like, are American women open to it? Like, what do they say to that? Because in Africa, you can get away with it, you know?
Well, it's just a matter of you being honest. You know, I think American women and women across the world just want honesty. They want a man that's honest, you know? And I think my whole life I was, you know, because if you love somebody, you don't want to hurt them. So
Could you have a polygamy in America?
Is that polygamy? I mean, they're raised. I mean, I don't think it's legal in every state. There is certain state that is legal. I think like in Utah or somewhere, you know, but...
What? It's a law, yeah.
So it's illegal to have two wives in some states?
I don't, but not you can't legally marry two women, you know, but there are things of that nature that happens in certain places. I'm not sure how legal it is. We don't.
Yeah, but okay, so there's people with three wives, but only one is legally registered as the
Honestly,
wife.
I have no idea how that whole thing works. Damn. I just know that, I mean, when I was I'm talking about more like dating more than one person or seeing more than one person. I didn't know about that. I wasn't talking about marriage.
Yeah.
I see more than one person. Yeah. That's universal.
Well, it is. It's universal, but do the other person know? Do you talk about it?
True. You
know, that's what I'm talking about. Now it's coming out more open now. More people are open to it, you know, like being allowed to like...
What's the difference between African women and American women?
You know, I was raised here. I came here as a teenager, so I pretty much got used to the American women. It all depends on, are we talking about African women in America or African women back home? You know, that could be two different type of African
different
women as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the ones here, you know, after so much amount of time here, they kind of become Americanized a little bit.
Makes sense.
You know, compared to the ones back home.
So even
regardless of who you're dating, just be honest. You know, it's like, hey, you know, if you if that's what you want, hey, I love you and I'll be with you, but, you know, occasionally I like to do my thing, you know, be honest. Be upfront. Women respect that.
I found it so fascinating, bro. You said you only became American 3 years ago, but you've been Michael Blackson. You've been making money for over a decade, maybe two decades. Mm-hmm. You can sustain your life. Right. You're bringing value and paying lots of tax here. Yeah. Right. So why only 3 years ago are you going to be eligible for citizenship?
Well, as long as you have a green card, you see, a green card gives you the same thing. The only difference with having a green card and having a citizenship is you don't have to get visas to like lots of European countries. You know, I got tired every time I went to Paris, I have to go get a visa. You know, and then of course, don't get it wrong, I had, it got to a point where it, I got frustrated with, you know,
the green card limits.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, and then I just end up just going and applying and get a lawyer.
Oh, so you could have been a citizen.
I could have been, maybe 5 years prior. You know, it's not such an easy thing. I mean, it's very easy when you come to America and you right away get married, you know, then you could get it faster. You know, mine was more like the long route. Mm. You know, I had a long route because I didn't want to use, and I was married at one point. I was married to an American woman and had my oldest son. But I didn't want to go that route because I want to feel like, you know, she wasn't, I married at a young age and, you know, she wasn't a person I could really, like, I really felt like I really, really trusted. And I didn't want to take that chance in using her, like going through her to get the papers. Because she could just easily change her mind in the middle of it. So I just wanted to go the long route. I went the long route of becoming a citizen. And then when I was finally eligible, you know, I was like, damn, if I become an American, am I still the African guy? You know, am I still, can I really still have this pride of being an African?
Yeah.
And I rode that wave for as long as I could. And it got to a point where I'm like, you know what? Tired getting a visa. Hey, I'm tired. Every time I come to the States, they take me to this little room and ask me all these stupid questions. You know, so I'm like, let me just go ahead and be a citizen.
Bro, so you're the biggest comedian in Africa, but what are you doing to bring up other African comedians? Is there anything that you're doing?
I'm working on it, you know, and what I realized, man, you have to like, do your own thing in America. I think I've got to the point where I'm getting powerful enough that I could produce my own things.
Oh,
you know, man. Because, you know, I got tired, like, auditions, man, are so, like, biased. It's like, you know, when you're auditioning for a show or a movie or something, you know, you go in front of a casting agent who most of the time probably don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
But a casting 100%. Agent is just more concerned about this perfect actor for this particular role, you know, and I 90% of auditions, you won't get them. You know, so what I think I want to do and what I decided to do was do what the Wayans brothers did. These guys produce their own things. You know, make yourself big enough that you have to be auditioned. They just like, we want Michael Blackson to play this part, not Michael Blackson to come and audition for this part. And I want to eventually host a big comedy show where I feature like the next levels of African comics.
Who are you feeling in Africa, like comedian-wise?
Right now? Oh, my goodness. I'm so not... I mean, I know, of course, Basket Mouth, you know, but he's so big all over Africa.
Yeah, he's huge.
And all over Europe, you know, but I don't think America knows him.
Mm.
And, in fact, he was here this week, and we went out to the comedy club, and he performed, and I thought it was great.
Mm.
But I'm like, okay, I gotta get America to get to know this guy, you know. And then the other guy from, he's in England a lot. What's his name? There's so many of them. I can't really think of. You know, the only ones I know are mostly like the local American, the local guys. They are just. I'm thinking more international.
Mm.
You know, the local guys that are here. Those guys just mostly started as IG comics.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of like made their way to comedy, you know. But I'm more one like the real guys that were stand-up guys, you know what I mean? But it's their time is coming. You know, I think we're in an era where there are people are looking for more African things.
I want to ask you something, bro, because we've been here for a few days, right? Mm-hmm. So we haven't been here like 30 years that, like you have. But I've mentioned, like, every time you mention African, like you're an African or you come from Africa, it's, especially to African Americans, they kind of like belittle you. It's like... They just start laughing for no weird reason.
Does it happen to you guys?
Yeah, the whole time. Am I lying, Penduka?
It hasn't happened to me.
Well, you know what?
It hasn't happened to me.
I could understand. I can understand why they would laugh at this motherfucker. Because, yeah. Further, you look like you just came from an American football field. So if you come up there and say you just came from Africa, there was no way they believe this nigga just came from Africa.
They like, nah, you having meals every day.
I'm trying to ask is, why don't African Americans take us seriously? Like, it's like we're a joke or some sort.
I don't know. Where was you in? Inglewood, motherfucker, where were you? At Crenshaw and Slauson? South Central? Where are you? You wasn't...
We were in Newark.
Oh, Newark?
No, for example, like...
Newark is a hood, man.
Like, for example, we're...
But you know what? The thing about it, like, so many foreigners have lived in Newark. You know, maybe that's why. Maybe they've had, like, some kind of experience with...
Okay, Newark is a bad example. I'll tell you about Jim Jones, right?
Okay.
We're interviewing him. And you could tell the first 20 minutes, he's like, oh, fuck, why am I sitting here talking to these African niggas? You know what I mean? Like,
that's the vibe you felt.
That's the vibe I felt. He didn't say that, and I could be wrong, but that's the vibe I felt. And I feel like when you engage with African Americans, that's the kind of vibe I feel like.
For real.
Like, we're lesser than them.
You know, and the thing about it, you know, they feel the other way. They feel like, you know, at one point they felt like we thought we were better than them. You know, so we need to communicate about these things. Yeah. For a while, blacks felt like, Africans felt like they were better than them. That's why. Yeah. I have no idea. Because we felt like, you know, we are the original black man. You know, we got hit, we came here on our own.
They diluted.
We work. They are lazy. It was all these myths, all these... But I think that's why we
need to talk about... Wait, they think we're lazy?
No. We think they are lazy.
We think they're lazy. So we come here, yeah, like how Zimbabweans feel of South Africans. In a nutshell. But, yeah. Like, they get here, Africans seize opportunities.
Right. But I think, you know, us talking about this right now could all break that ice, you know. Yeah. And if all the black Americans that are watching, we don't think we're better than you. You know, I think it's all love. I just think it's what that Western world has want us to feel about each other. You know, the Western world, they don't want us to love each other. You know, so they put this feeling through there for us to feel and hate each other, you know. But when black Americans, I take my black American friends to Ghana all the time. They're treated like kings and queens. I mean, when I took my female friends, every night they have a new date from somebody else. Somebody's taking them out to eat and showing them a good time, you know. And that's how we feel about our black Americans. We all won and we love you, so come home, mother suckers.
So what's the end goal for you? Why don't you just go home and be a king in Ghana?
You know what? That's my eventual goal. That definitely will be my goal. It's just right now, Ghana don't have money for me yet. I make all this money I need to make from here. And then when I retire, you know, definitely will be home, you know. And not just Ghana. I'll spend time in Liberia. I want to do something that has to. I want to be like that Kofi. I want Kofi Annan's job, the job that Kofi Annan did.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
Yeah, Kofi man. I want to, like, you know, bring peace and love and... You know, and I think I'll almost qualify for that in about another 10 years.
Mm. But bro, let's be honest, man. Because like for me, if I arrived in America at the age of 13, I'm 37 now, I would have spent most of my life in America than back home in South Africa. Right. Like, doesn't America feel like more home than Ghana? When you get to Ghana, aren't you too American to be Ghanaian?
Nah, you can take us out of Africa. You can take Africa out of us, man.
Yeah.
When I go home, I feel like whether it's Ghana or Liberia, even Nigeria, where I already spent a few years there. Man, that's where I feel at home at.
Connected.
You know, that's where I feel connected. And it's cool here. Don't get it wrong. You know, like, you know, my money's here. You know, that's why I just come here to collect my money, really. If I could live back in West Africa and fly to work every day, I would do it if I could. It's just too long of a flight.
When you went back for the first time in your 20s, from at the age of like 13 when you left, right, did you link up with like childhood friends? Were things always the same?
No, I didn't see it. Nope. I was just more like just reminiscing and try to remember everything. I mean, I remember like my, you know, even my cousins were like, you know, I didn't even recognize most of them.
It was damn, bro.
Whoa.
I even won a point, like 15 years I went at one time. There's a time between I left and when I came back, I didn't see my other brothers and sisters. Damn, 15 bro. Years. So it was hard. You know what I mean? It was very hard. But that's how, you know, that's how it is, man. You come to America and it's like you need time to like make some money and then you gotta make sure your papers is right. So you could be able to come back to America, because if you leave where your paper is not right, you ain't coming back. So you got to stay long enough to make sure everything is right. You come back and forth and make sure that your people...
But at the end of the day, so if you're from Africa, you want to come to America, get on the flight, come here, be different.
As an artist, don't change for nobody. Be yourself.
So if TD comes... Look like a TD. P. Diddy comes knocking and you say, hey, listen, man. Just bend over, look the other way.
And he comes knocking through the back door.
P. Diddy ain't coming in them doors.
The back door.
P. Diddy, only chance of surviving right now is probably to move to South Africa. So move to some village somewhere in South Africa and just hide.
No, but Michael, it's a real chat. Like, if I'm from Africa and I just come here,
right,
and I meet some guy in L.A. and he say, hey, I can do this for you. Mm-hmm. You just have to do this. Like, I'll think about it, bro, because I want to make it, bro.
And you're desperate.
Yeah, and you're desperate. So you're saying, don't fall for that.
Don't fall for that. Definitely. Don't compromise yourself, man. You know, never do that. Just use what talent that God gave you and use that to come up, man. And hey, maybe that's why I've never become even... I mean, don't get wrong. I'm very successful as a comic, and I'm happy, very happy where I am, because where I am is surpassed my dreams.
Wow.
My goal was to come to America, get a job at McDonald's, make money, help my brothers then back home. Where I'm at right now is past what I ever thought about. And, you know, so don't compromise yourself. Put God first. Be original. And don't bend over for nobody, motherfuckers.
And speaking about God, where are you, like, spiritually? Like,
you know, I have a personal relationship with God. I think that's all that matters, man. I grew up going to church, my mother, my whole life. And then as I got older, I built a personal relationship with God. I get on my knees when I'm alone and I talk to God myself. I don't need...
So you don't have, like, a spiritual healer or something?
No. Yeah. Well, you have one?
No. I'm just asking. Because a lot of people do, bro.
No, I don't have one.
A lot of people do,
I
bro.
Communicate with God.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so... Stay away from P. Diddy's house. Make sure you're different.
Be original. That's the
word. Original.
Be original. Yeah. Be yourself.
Be yourself.
I mean, everybody's different from everybody. You know.
I think like that's easy to say, because Saul was saying the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's so many people, right? We in LA, right? That have come here with hopes and dreams.
Americans.
Yes.
Who came here and they died working at McDonald's hoping to be actors.
All the actors
so
that end
tough.
Up. All the female actors that end up as like porn stars because they couldn't get
Oh shit. A lot of porn stars
came here as actress. It's tough.
Are there porn studios there?
Huh? I'm sure there's a whole lot of them.
Oh, wow.
So you can't say, you make it sound easy. It's not that easy, bro.
Yeah.
So. I mean, you know what? I mean, it has to be, you know, if that's the talent, if that's the route that God won for you, man, you know, it might not be what God has for you. It might not be part of God's plan.
No, man. No one's in God's plan to suck
comedy
dick all
was,
day,
I'm
bro.
I'm telling you, I think with me, comedy was God's plan for me to touch the world, you know, through laughter, okay? Because I was a very shy kid. I was shy for it. Wow. So me to go on stage and talk crazy and do what I'm doing, I think that was a gift from God. So if it comes naturally from God, it makes things a lot easier.
Who was the first person you were making laugh? Like, was it your mom or like your sisters?
No, it was in school. My job also. When I had a job at like, when I was about 17, 18 at my work, I made my coworkers laugh. And in fact, by the time I turned 19, 20 was one of my coworkers. He said, you should go to open mic night. And that's when I started to go to open mic. He thought I was funny.
Okay.
So now, you weren't like funny at all. Well, you were, but maybe your mom didn't realize you're funny. Mm-hmm. And you said your mom called America the land of dreams.
The promised land.
Now, as a parent, if I take my child to the promised land, mm-hmm. I want them to become a doctor mm-hmm. or work for the family eventually.
That's true.
How then do you break it down to an African mom that you want to stand on stage and make people laugh? Because in Africa, that's no job.
Nah, she wasn't trying to fall for that. My mom was not trying to hear it. In fact, the last job I had that I clocked in was I worked for the airlines. I worked part-time for the airlines while I was still doing stand-up. And, you know, when you work for the airlines, you get to fly free. Your kids, your wife, your mother, everybody get to fly for free. So when it got to the point where I had to let the job go, my mother was pissed.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was like, what? How am I going to fly around? I said, Mom, I'm going to buy you a real plane ticket, okay? You don't have to, because when you're flying, you fly standby.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a seat on the plane, you'll get on. If there's no seat, you don't get on. Oh. You know, and she was really upset about me laying the job. But like now, she, I mean, it took a while to like, you know, realize that this was it. And then now this comedy pays, bought her a house and, you know, takes care of her.
Your career took flight. Adventure.
Yeah.
We've got this thing that we do on the show. It's called Fund a Chiller. So every single month, like every money that we make from membership from our audience, right? Mm-hmm. We call them chillers. We give back to the community, like the chillers.
Okay.
And I know you're very big and strong about your foundation.
Right.
And I just want to let you know that this month, whatever we're going to make from Fund a Chiller, it's going to your foundation, man.
Hey, yes.
Yeah, it's a couple of $1,000, bro.
That's dope, man. It's not much, but it's something. Because it's in rands. It's in rands. It's not much.
Is it South African money?
Yeah. Maybe like half, like
what? $5?
Nah, $5,000, $10,000 US dollars.
Oh, that's dope. That could pay for my teachers for a month, man.
Tell us
more about your foundation, man. What's going
on
there?
Well, you know, it's the Michael Blassen Foundation is all about educating kids in less fortunate areas in Africa, in villages. I've done my first school. I built my first school, Michael Blackson Academy, had a one-year anniversary. Wow. So I built the school out of my own pocket, took my own money, went to my mom's village where she was born, built a beautiful campus for the kids. The kids get free education, free uniform, free food. I take care of everything. The only thing I told the kids they have to pay is pay attention to the teachers. You know, so that is just the beginning. My goal is to open one in Liberia, maybe Nigeria, maybe make it to South Africa and build a Michael Blackson Academy and take it around the world, man. In remote areas where kids are needed and it's hard for them to get education or they cannot afford to get an education.
Do you think people do that for PR, bro?
You know what? When I did it, it had nothing to do with PR. It was just something that would just bothering my heart, because when I went home for the first time after being here and I saw kids walking around doing school hours, and I'm like, and we love school, you know, and in Africa kids love school. I never understood why they were in school, and when I found out why, because they couldn't afford school. And then when you did the math, I'm like, school don't even cost that much, they just can't afford it. And it was on my heart for 15 years. And I came home and I was like, I'm gonna save my money, I'm gonna build a school. And I was talking about it, and next thing you know, it happened.
I really don't like that, bro, because it pushes a narrative like we don't have schools in Africa.
No, we have school. We just schools. Just every America has free schools all over the place. We don't have that back home. It's very few that are free. But when they fill up, then with the kids, they can't go. What do? They can't afford the other schools.
Or some are just too far.
It's all kinds of different reasons that that kids are not in school. And then I did a lot of villages where the kids are not in school.
Mm.
Especially villages.
No, that's true. But I think it can be worded differently. Make it seem like we don't have any schools at all. Because like when you go to a Drink Champs, it's like I'm building a school in Ghana. It's like, it makes it sound like it's the only school in Ghana. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you got to be kind of slow and stupid to think it's the only school in Ghana. When Ghana, Guinean kids and Nigerian kids are probably the smartest kids on earth.
Yeah,
Nigerians, Ghanaians. I mean,
Zimbabweans.
I think the first university was in Ghana, in the world.
So yeah, for you to think that's real dumb. People just not used to people doing nothing out of their goodness of their heart. Mm. That's probably what it was. That's what shocked. Because even back home, they're like, why are you doing this? I'm like, God touched me to do it. You know, when I was in church, I'll get 10% of my offering. But when I was like, now I have a personal relationship with God, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give my ties to this. This is where I know I'm giving my ties to.
Yeah.
To the kids that I know where it's really going. You know, it's really needed by those children.
Michael, man, thank you so much for your time, man.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you so much, man, for inviting us to your house.
Bro.
Pinduka, you got a last question?
Yeah,
Ghana,
I do have a question. Show me.
Ghana, we do this. You put your hands. Do this.
Oh, we do that. Come on, you do it so awkwardly. Yeah. No, man.
Your finger's too fat, man. That's
Finger too fast, man.
We're in Ghana 2 years ago. It's a beautiful country, man.
Oh, crap, fucking amazing. Bro.
The people there are chilled, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Ghana so cool. Awesome, man.
Yeah, man. And like your surname, is it Ferguson, bro?
That's a fake name. Somebody, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Jeff, like Ferguson, there's no Ferguson. It's not even Ghana, my
name.
Man.
Somebody went online and made up a name. I'm like Ferguson. Jafari.
Jafari,
like,
Ferguson.
I was Googling myself the other day. I'm like, Jafari Ferguson. I'm like, who's that?
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, wait, man.
I'm like, what the hell is Jafari Ferguson? Who made us up?
So what's the real name? So what's the real name?
Michael Kojo Blackson.
Because my question, when you said, do I have a question? I was like, hey, man, Michael or Blackson don't appear anywhere. Well, Jafari.
It's a long story, okay? Yeah. Well, Michael, my mother was an evangelist, so she named me Michael after an angel. Michael was an angel. All right. Kojo, because I was born on a Monday. You know, if your parents or anybody's affiliated with Ghana, they name me by the days of the week you was born.
Yes.
I was born on Monday. Now, Black Son was a name that was given to me by my mother. Mm-hmm. My mother left my father years ago. She said, I'm going to name you guys Black Son, meaning son of a black man. Mm-hmm. That's the only, and I've had that name since I was 3 years old.
So it's got nothing to do with like Michael Jackson?
Yeah, nothing to do with Michael Jackson, no. And that name hurted me when I came to America because here I am, dark as hell. My last name is Blackson. The kids made it even more funny. That name was not a blessing. But thank you for having me, mother suckers.
Thank you.
I'll see you in South Africa. I'm coming.
When you coming,
whenever you guys invite me, okay?
All right, cool. Last question. We always ask everybody this who comes to the show, what do you want to be remembered as, man, when it's all said and done?
So many things. I guess, I don't know, the guy that went back to the village and built a school for the kids for free.
Nah.
For the kids, bro.
Anything for the children, man.
Where you at with Kevin Hart? Are you guys cool now?
Kevin is cool, yeah.
What was the beef? I didn't understand what the beef was about. I didn't follow that.
That's a long story, man.
We got five minutes.
We wouldn't need another show for that beef.
We got two minutes. Break it down.
He just felt like he went through a little situation. You know, and I make fun
of him. Oh, the infidelity.
Yeah, and I make fun of him because, like, I do everybody else. Like I said, when I do, Mike, when something happens, I attack it right away. Regardless whether you're a fellow comedian or you're an athlete, you're a rapper, you do something, I'm going to get on your
ass. That's your currency.
It's material.
It's material. And I did it, and he felt some type of way about it.
Oh, fuck. That was it?
That was it.
Speaking of
infidelity, good.
Fidelity, what happened to your first marriage to the American lady who you share a son with? What led to the divorce?
Well, I married at a very young age. I was probably like 22 years old. At
that
age,
that's too
no
young,
man
bro.
Is
yeah,
ready.
Nah.
Yeah,
nah. You fucked up there, bro.
It's too young
fucked
to
up.
Be married.
You're in America, you're marrying at 22. Are you fucked
for
up?
For the papers. For the papers. So you know you must try.
But I never used it to get the papers. I told you, I went a long route.
And what led to you?
No, long route, no Diddy. I'm going.
No Diddy. No long route. No Diddy, bro. No Diddy.
Are you guys still cool though?
Who?
You and your ex-wife?
Yeah, I'm cool.
Would you get married again?
Probably.
Hey, just want to make sure.
It has. You know, I'm eventually. Mm. One day.
When will you know that this is the one? I'm getting married.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not. It has not. You could be with the one. I think marriage has just been like the last few years. It's just been a bad thing. People is get too many divorces.
Generally is, yeah.
It's just been, especially in America, you know. It's been so many divorces. I'm like, damn, people just get married just to turn around and divorce 2-3 years later. So you could be with somebody, love them and cherish the moment together. Marriage is just, you know, piece of paper that just, you know, kind of like makes things difficult to me. So that's the only reason why. No other reason. It's just that the ratio of divorces is too high. Right now. It's not a good era. Maybe like my next life.
And you don't get tempted, bro. Like there's so many beautiful women in America, bro.
Wouldn't be tempted.
Like tempted to just, you know, sneak out one day.
Well, I have to get permission.
Oh, you get permission?
Yeah, I get permission.
What?
Oh,
what do you mean?
Man, we are true African
men. Whoa, what do you mean by that?
True African man.
What do you mean by that?
I get permission and then I get the okay.
How do you ask?
No way.
Well, how do you even bring that up? Like, how do you even?
Once you become successful, you can bring shit like that.
Hey!
Oh, shit. You're like,
good night, motherfuckers.
Can we have a permission meeting tonight at home, baby? I'm coming home. We got a permission meeting happening. Oh, motherfuckers. Permission, boy.
Welcome to Black Excellence. Do not fear, for if you do, just sip on some grandeur. And if we still do, ask ourselves, what would Mapapunzi do? Pagama chila, itlasha lefiki. Ungoyig, even if when they ask you, how sabine, do not fear. For if you do, just say, anistivi. This is the medicine of censorship. This is the pill. Which one is that one? Podcast and chill.